A whole bunch of different things. Question Tanner asked this morning, the question that Scott asked this morning, the question that I ask you and I ask myself this morning is, really, why are we even here today? Is there something we could find better to do in these few moments that we have on a Sunday morning? Could we be out golfing? Could we be out in the woods somewhere? Could we be on a lake somewhere? Could we be in the bed, laying there watching television? What else could we be doing on a Sunday morning, February the 3rd, 2019? And so I asked myself that question during the whole week. I said, God, why do we do what we do? Why do we gather on a Sunday morning? And why do we come together to sing? And why do we come together to shake hands and give? And why do we gather around and look at your word? What is the meaning of it? What's the purpose of it? Simply so that I can get a paycheck and I can go on living? Absolutely not. Brothers and sisters, we are here to worship the living God as a body of believers. We are not here to worship the music, and we're not here to worship the pastor. We're not here to worship the deacons or anybody else in this very room. We're not here to worship the pews and the color of the carpet. We are here to worship the living and true God. And what that looks like varies at times in our hearts and our lives. It matters on what we're going through at that moment. It matters on what we've been through all week long. Sometimes all we can do is simply say, "Oh God, help me." That's worship. That's where you're acknowledging that only God can meet your need. And that's the desire this morning, is that I show you from God's word that only He is worthy of worship today. And these few brief moments that we have today, as we look at His word, this is what I want you to ask yourself. Am I here for the right reason? Am I worshiping what God and how God wants me to? And if I'm not, am I willing to change? See, there's the problem. We're Baptists. We don't like change. We don't like anything different. Because we're afraid that if it's a different thing, then maybe it's not the right thing. But brothers and sisters, let me encourage you this morning. If it's the change is made and the Bible says to do it, it's okay. So I want us to change our way of thinking today. I want us to worship God as He deserves, not as we want. And I want to look at Scripture this morning, and I'm going to give you a demonstration, a little bit of what God's Word says. Open up John chapter number 4. We're going to start there. We're going to eventually come back to John chapter 4 in these next few weeks. But I want to just kind of help us to a jumping off point this morning. John chapter number 4. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman, and He met her at the well, and He's talking with her, and they're having a conversation back and forth, and we're going to pick up at verse number 19. John chapter 4, verse number 19. He's talking with the Samaritan woman, and they're having a conversation. She says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then she says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." And she referred to a mountain that was right next to her. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." So she says, listen, our fathers, our ancestors, our Samaritan ancestors taught us that this mountain was the proper place to worship. No other place existed for true worship, but this mountain was. And she says, "Jesus, you prophet, you say that the proper worship is in Jerusalem." So we have a little bit of a disagreement here. "You say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Here's how Jesus answered her. "Woman, believe me, trust me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem. Worship the Father." Underline that and circle. That is very key. very key. The woman was hung up on the place of worship instead of who to worship. And Jesus said, the place of worship is not as important as who you worship. Some people worship the pew that they're sitting in. You sit in their pew and you have just committed, you have broken the 12th commandment. Some people worship a genre or a style of music. And you deviate from that genre or style of music, you have broken the 13th commandment. Some people worship the version of the Bible that you preach from. And if you don't preach from their version of the Bible, you have broken the 14th commandment. Some people worship how you dress and how you appear. And if you don't abide by what they think, you've broken the 15th commandment. Now, all those things are important and all those things are vital, and we need to do what the Bible says. But brothers and sisters, I don't worship a Bible. I don't worship a form of dress. I don't worship a way of music. I don't worship the pew that you sit in. I want to worship God and God alone.
Amen.
And she was so hung up on the place of worship that Jesus said, listen, the place of worship is not the important thing. The more you worship is who you worship. Now continue on. He says, you worship not what we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father. See, that's the key. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Brothers and sisters, God is here and He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants you to worship Him as He wants, not as you want. And one of the hardest things that all of us can do, including myself, is to understand exactly what that means. Over the next few weeks, I want to examine the scriptures, and I want us to all be willing to say, if I'm worshiping wrong, I want to do it right. I want us to have an open heart to what the Bible says, what the Holy Spirit is showing us, and say, and determine, you know what? Hey, I've been doing it wrong. Instead of worshiping God, I've been worshiping myself. I've been worshiping my needs. I've been worshiping other people. I've been worshiping a time. I've been worshiping a place. I want to worship the living and true God. And I believe that when we get to that point in our lives, when we finally worship the living and true God in spirit and in truth, it will transform our lives. But here's the most important thing that we have to remember and admit this morning. That you know what? We may be wrong. And I know that's another thing that Baptists don't like to admit. That maybe we're wrong about something. Hey, so wait a minute, Brother Brian, you're scaring me now. Brother Brian, are you going to take us someplace that is going to be wild and crazy? Someplace that we're going to be doing all kinds of ungodly things? No. I want us to go where the Bible goes. And I expect you to hold me to that. I expect us to examine the scriptures together, and I expect us to let the Holy Spirit speak to us through what His Word tells us to do. I don't want to deviate from this, and I don't want you to deviate from it. Just because it feels good doesn't make it worship. Just because it pleases you doesn't make it worship. Because it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about your aunt, it's not about your uncle, it's not about your grandma. It's all about God and God alone.
Yeah.
So as we get started this morning, are you willing to worship as God instructs you to? Let's pray. God, thank You for Your Word. You have given us example after example, and as we examine it this morning, I ask You, God, that You would help us Guide us, direct us, convict us. Help us, Lord, to worship you as you want us to. Lord, I don't want to worship myself. Please forgive me for worshiping myself. Please forgive me for doing and saying and thinking about what I want. I want instead to do and say and think as you desire. I want to worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, I want you to show me how I've done it wrong. I want you to show me how I can do it right so that you are honored and glorified. Radically change us today. Maybe in small ways, but please begin to work in our lives so that we worship you as you sincerely deserve. In Christ's precious name, I ask this. Amen. So in order to understand how to worship, we've got to understand what worship is. The word worship is, in very simply described as this. It is honor given to a superior being. Honor that is given to a superior being. Worship is bowing down literally, physically, emotionally, to someone who is better than you. Who's ever heard of the terminology, they worship the ground he walks on? He worships the ground that she walks on. The thought process behind that is that the person who's in the situation, they are bowed down to. And the fact is, we all want to be worshipped. We all want people to give in to what we want. We all want people to say, yes, you're right and I'm wrong. We really do. That's our God complex we have inside of us. We want to be pleased with what is said. We want to be pleased with what is sung. We want to be pleased with what is done so that we're happy about it. And if we're not happy about it, then we get angry and upset. Brothers and sisters, your joy is not my concern. My joy ought not to be your concern. His joy ought to be our concern. The Old Testament begins to teach us about this. Now remember, worship is honor given to a superior being. Music and preaching is just simply stimulus to help us to worship. The music is a stimulus. The preaching is a stimulus. The giving, the fellowship, it's all leading us to worship God. I want to show you some verses this morning. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 30. Exodus chapter number 30. Let's see. I'm going to pick on my daughter. Gracie, come on up here for a second, sweetie. Oh, joy. I know she's looking forward to this. She has no idea about what this is. Exodus chapter number 30, verse number 34. Exodus chapter number 30, verse number 34. God specifically tells the priests what to do and how to determine and show that their true worship. Exodus chapter number 30, verse number 34. Here's what he says. He gives them, there's 234 verses that talk about the tabernacle and how to set the tabernacle up. And he gives us five verses here that describe how to make part of the worship. He says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take these sweet spices, stacte and ochna and galbaum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, and each shall be a like weight. And you shall make it a perfume, a confection, that the art of the apothecary tempered together pure and holy." So he says, listen, I've got some different chemicals, some different fragrances, some different things that I want you to take, and I want you to combine them together. Now, he is speaking about worship. So I've got some myrrh here. And he says, I want you to take, now I don't have any of these, I have some of these spices, but not very many of them. Some of them don't even exist anymore. But he gives a recipe book, a piece of myrrh we're going to use this morning. And then he says, I want you to take some frankincense, which it says right there. So I want you to take equal weights or equal amounts.
And then I've got some myrrh in liquid form. And mix it all together right here. And he says, I want you to take specific spices. All right, hold that right there with one hand. And take the other one and start grinding it together. He says, I want you to take these things. You can put it on this table right here if you want to. It might get easier for you. I want you to take these specific spices, and I want you to mix them together for a unique type of perfume. Now you say, wow, that's fantastic. That's a neat thing. Maybe that's how they do it, making Polo and Obsession and all these spices and these perfumes for the ladies and the men to wear. But here's the thing. Okay, they're a little tough. It's okay. You're breaking apart. You're doing good. Okay? All right? I'm glad you didn't start doing this. That's why I didn't ask a boy to come up here. I know the boy would start doing this with it. All right? All right, sweetie, you can get sit down. Thank you. All right? He says, I want you to take these spices together. I want you to mix them up. Now look what it says, verse number 36. And you shall beat some of it very small, make it into small pieces, and you're going to put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with you. And it shall be unto you most holy. So it says, I want you to take the mixture, and you're going to lay it on the altar. And there, when you lay it on the altar, I will meet with you there. So you lay it on the altar, and God says, when you do that, then I will meet with you there. And the smell of it smells pretty good. You can go by and smell a little bit later on, but it's got a special fragrance and a special odor. And when the odor would rise up, especially in the Old Testament, a fragrance and an odor from spices mixed together was of worshiping God and giving Him a unique smell. Now, does that mean that God likes the way things smell? Yes, He does. But especially in the Old Testament, so they would take the spices, mix them together uniquely, put them in the altar, and then the smell would rise up to God, and God would say, that's what I want. Now hold on a second. Look what he says next. He says, after you've done that, verse number 37, and as for the perfume which you shall make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof, it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. He says, that combination that you put together, as you did it, you don't make it for you. You don't make it for anybody else. That composition belongs to me. It's unique to me. Don't you dare go outside of this tabernacle and take what you've made and you give it to somebody else. Because if you do, you have a curse coming to you. Worship is giving God our... Now, this was costly stuff back then. This wasn't just something you go to the 5 and 9 store and collect and put together and just kind of throw it. No, it was precisely done with the thought of honoring and worshiping God. And God said, that unique combination does not belong anywhere but for me. And if you use it for anything or for anyone other than me, then you are worshiping them and no longer myself. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, what's that got to do with what we are and how we're worshiping? Here's a thought. How many of you know that God makes no mistakes? How many of you rise and understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? How many of you understand and realize that you are a unique individual? Now, some of you are more unique than others, but how many of you understand that you are unique in the way you're made? There's nobody like you. If God made you, and He made you inside your mother's womb, and He has created you the way you're created, how many of you understand and realize that we are for Him and not for us? And we say we want to worship God. We say that we want to please God. But the fact of the matter is we're sharing us with everybody else but Him. I don't expect an amen there. It's to be like, oh me. God said, this perfume belongs to me. I made the ingredients. I have you put them together exactly like I told you to, and therefore the fragrance belongs to me. You have been put together by God. You have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to God, and therefore you ought to be an object that is used for worship to Him, not on Sunday mornings only, but every moment of every day. Worship doesn't just take place in this building. Worship takes place everywhere we go. And if you are taking yourself, who has been wonderfully made and bought by the blood of Christ, and you are taking yourself into the world and giving yourself to the world, giving yourself to the filth of the world, giving yourself to the nastiness of society, and you're saying that, hey, then what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm not worshiping you, I'm worshiping myself. Because look what it says. He continues on. He says, and whosoever, verse 38, shall make like unto that, in other words, the same concoction, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. That's pretty serious. So if the high priest or the priest that makes that concoction, and he says, you know what? Man, that smells good. And he says, well, I'm going to sneak a little bit out. God doesn't need all of that. I'm going to sneak a little bit out, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to give it to my wife, because she'll love that smell. All right, sweetheart, there's your perfume right there. Early Christmas present. And you go home, and you give it to somebody else, or you use it for yourself. God says, game over. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. Brothers and sisters, true worship means giving ourselves to Him completely and not to the world. Turn from here to Romans chapter 12 real quick with me. Some of you knew I was going there, and I hope you anticipated it. Romans chapter number 12. So God says, this is how you make perfume, and this is a type of perfume that I want you to make, and this is how I want you to make it, and here's the purpose of it. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me real quick, verses 1 and 2. Look at what it says. Now, when God was speaking to Moses, He says, Moses, you are my people. And this is how my people are to react. This is how my people are to worship. God doesn't expect the world to worship that way. He didn't ask the Canaanites to make that perfume. He didn't ask the Midianites and all the Ike brothers. He didn't want them to worship God that way. He says, my people worship this way, not the world. Look what He says in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Who is He speaking to here? Christians. He is speaking to the body of Christ. He is speaking to those who are blood bought. He is speaking to children of God. If you are one of them children of God, look at me. He's speaking to you, and He's speaking to me. Here's what He expects. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, God's mercies, that ye, I love that word, ye, you, y'all, humans, you guys. That's a proper use of pronouns. Y'all. That y'all present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just as this mixture was presented to God for His love and to obey and worship Him, as the fragrance floated up to heaven, it was presented to Him. God says, Christians, my children, present yourselves. Give me everything you got. From the moment that you step on the campus of Victory Baptist Church. No. From the moment you open your eyes in the morning, worship ought to begin. From the very moment that your eyes pop awake, the first thought that should come through your mind is not, where's the coffee? Not, oh my goodness, it's cold outside. It ought to be this: God, thank you for who you are. From that very moment, you begin to worship and you present yourself, you give yourself willingly to Him and say, God, you do what you want with me. See, this perfume, God says, you make it and give it to me, and I'll do what I want with it. You don't take it home. You don't make it what you want it to be. You use it for my glory. Just like that, He wants you to be used for His glory in whatever manner that is. You say, Brother Brian, I stay home and take care of my children. Fantastic! Worship God by giving yourself to be the best parent that you can be. Be the best teacher that you can be. Be the best coach that you can be. Be the best husband that you can be. But brothers and sisters, give yourself to Him. Open up yourself. Be willing to do what He tells you to do. You say, Brother Brian, how do I know what He tells me to do? Let me show you. How He gives you some instructions here. He says, present your bodies. There it is. Your bodies. Every ounce of your being as a living sacrifice. And the word holy means separate. God doesn't want us to be like everybody else. Peter calls us a peculiar people. Our every ounce of our being, our thoughts, our words, our efforts, our actions ought not to be focused on us. It ought to be pointing people to Him. That means when you come in here, especially on a Sunday morning, it's not about making you happy. It's not about what takes place that pleases you. Instead, it's, God, I want my attitude to be what you want it to be. And the wonderful thing is, when that takes place, wow, what a blessing you get. Then the Holy Spirit flows through us and speaks to us, and we think, wow, what a wonderful service that was when I finally gave in to God. Our barriers to true worship is us and our preconceived notions. Brothers and sisters, I'm a Christian first. I'm a Baptist last. I'm a Christian. I am bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have placed my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am a Baptist by denomination, but I am a Christian by relationship. And I'm not ashamed of it. I belong to Christ, not through my denomination. I belong to Christ through the blood that He shed on that cross for me. And when I worship, it's not about being a Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of a Baptist, I'm not ashamed of that. But when I worship Christ, it's because of the blood, not because of the name. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I can't present my wife's, I can't present my children's, I got to present my body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto the governor, unto the pastor, unto who? It's all right, we're in church, you can say the name. Unto who? God. You know who I do, what I do, when I do, how I do, as much as I do, who for? God, not you. Well, Brother Brian, we'll show you what we think of that. It's Him and Him alone. Which is your spirit. The word reasonable means spiritual service. You want to worship? then you worship by giving everything you have to Him. That means your attitude. Are you selfish naturally? I am. I'm one of the most selfish people in the world. Anybody more selfish than I am out there? Some of you are willing to admit it. Say you're so selfish you won't even admit it. Selfish. I want to please myself. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to see what I want to see. I want to taste what I want to see. Hot wings and vanilla pudding and all that kind of good stuff. See, I want to please me. But in all honesty, if I say I want to worship God, it's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. If we sing a song that I'm not familiar with, that I'm not thrilled about the genre, it doesn't matter. If the words that I'm singing are bringing glory to Him, that's what matters. If the missionary that Brother Scott is showing us during the worship service and it's talking about it's not something I'm interested in, guess what? It's not about my interest. It's about seeing what God's doing in that person's life and in that ministry. If the offering plate comes by and I don't have anything to give, we don't sit there and think, well, all they want is money from me. You ought to think this: God, thank you that somebody's able to give something for the ministry. Well, I don't like the way that person looks. I don't like the way that person smells. I don't like the way the person... No, no, no. It's not about you. Thank God they have clothes on. Thank God that they came in and they're here. Thank God that we've got Bibles in the pews. There's a Bible for every person in this room. Thank God for that. God, thank you that you've given us worship. And then he says in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. See, Grace just took a moment ago and she conformed that myrrh and frankincense as best as she could. She conformed it into what God wanted to be. Sometimes it takes a beating. How many of you are hard-headed like me and takes a beating sometimes? Sometimes it's easy. God doesn't want us to be conformed like the whole world is. He says, I want you to be special. I love these babies in here. Little Ella upstairs. Little Harrison right there. Little man back there snoozing. Look at him. Sterling. He's not. When Graceland's here. There's so much potential in their lives. And as their parents raise them, they're molding them into what they ought to be. Brothers and sisters, some of us were born a long time ago. But that doesn't mean we can't be what God wants us to be today. If your attitude stinks, ask God to pour some perfume on it. If you don't like the way something sounds, ask God to change your ears. If you don't like the way something looks, ask God to change your eyes. If you're not happy with the situation, ask God to change your heart. Brothers and sisters, it's not about me. Not about you. It's all about Him. He's worthy of worship. He says, be not conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know how to worship? Let the Bible, as you read it and pray over it, let the Bible show you. See, I showed you one example that God wanted the perfect mixture for Him. One way that you can worship this morning, and I want you to take out of here with you, is this. And I just showed it to you in Romans, is that you are not part of the world anymore. You are uniquely made, and God wants you for Him. You don't belong to the world. Don't give your body to someone it doesn't belong to. Don't give the gifts and abilities and talents that God has given you. Don't give it to the world anymore. The world got plenty of it. God wants it. Give what God's given to you back to Him. The world don't need it. God wants it. One other scripture, real quick. Go to Luke. I knew I'd never get as far as I wanted to go, but that's all right. Go to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. Another example of worship. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. What does worship look like? Now it came to pass, verse 38 of chapter 10. Now it came to pass as they went, Jesus and his disciples, that He, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha, she was too busy. She was cumbered about much serving. Jesus comes in. Martha is busy doing this and doing that and flitting around here and flitting around there, trying to impress Jesus and His disciples. She's got guests and she's want to be hospitable and she wants everything to be perfect and she's busy about doing it. That's what cumbered about means. But her sister sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to what He's saying. Martha gets upset and she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Don't you care?" "Make her, bid her therefore that she help me. Get her up off her lazy rear end and make her start helping me serve you." Now wait, that kind of seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Make her get up. Look what Jesus said. "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which should not be taken away from her." Activity doesn't equal worship. Listening to God's word is much more important. You can be active all you want, and I'm doing a good job, and still not worship. But when you're willing to listen and take in the word of God and let it renew your mind, then you're worshiping. See, in just a minute, we're going to have a time of offering, of invitation, of commitment, of whatever you want to call it. And just because you don't come forward doesn't mean you're not worshiping. These next few moments, I want you to forget about where you're going to eat. I want you to forget about where you've got to go. I want you to forget about everything else, all the cares and concerns. They're there when you leave. I want you to take these next few moments and give to God what He deserves. He deserves the best. And it's for Him and Him alone. You belong to Him. Look at me for a moment. Scott, you belong to Him. All the good and the bad and the ugly, you belong to Him. Ryan, you belong to Him. Linda, You belong to Him. He loves you in spite of you. So shouldn't we give Him our all? He knows the ugliness of us, and He still loves us. Thank you, God. I'm glad I'm not a black spot on the ground. Thank you for being merciful to me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I can speak, I can see, I can hear most of the time. Thank you, God. I want to use it now for your glory. I don't want the world to have my best. I want God to have my best. That is where worship begins. Isn't that what it says? I want to be a sweet savor. I'm tired of stinking like the dump. How about you? How about you? Let's all stand together. Now, please, these next few moments, please, I'm begging you. If you don't need to go, don't go. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and I only do this just for you, okay? This is not for me. This is for you. I want you to close yourself off to everything else right now around you. If you need to separate yourself from the person you're sitting next to and scoot over just a little bit so they're not rubbing on you, that's fine. I want you to take a few moments now. As the music's going to play, I'm going to pray and the music's going to play, and I want you to examine your worship to God today. Are you a sweet-smelling savor to God today? Or is there some flies in that ointment? Is your life what God wants it to be? Or is there some things there that just are not matching up with what His Word says? Are you a living sacrifice for God? If not, why not? And are you willing to change? Finally, there's some precious souls in this very room who are not children of God. You've been created by Him, but you've never really placed your faith in Him. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to come to God and ask Him to forgive you of all your sins and have Jesus Christ be your Savior? Today's that day. Say a simple prayer. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and mean it. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's high time to worship God as He deserves. But are you willing to do it His way on His terms? Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. I'm asking You, God, that what I've said today would be forgotten. But what Your Word has said, we'll never forget. Thank You for saving my sorry soul through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm asking You, Father, that in my life, that I would worship You as You desire. Instruct me, teach me, correct me. I repent of my sins. I want to worship You. Not just in this building, but with every ounce of my being everywhere I go. I pray for these precious souls in this room that we would do that. Today may be the first time, but I pray, God, it would be taking place for Your glory and Your honor. In Christ's precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're standing there and you want to do that, do that. If you want to come forward, come forward. It's time. Stop playing the game. And start worshiping God like He desires. As they begin to sing, just do what God's telling you to do, please.
As I was thinking this morning and praying about how to go with from here, how many of you are familiar with that TV show Hoarders? How many of you are familiar with that? Okay.